Everybody, if you're new here to Savannah or Compassion Christian, man, let me tell you, you got here at a great, great time. This is a really special week for us in a number of ways. First of all, you know, we're one church that meets in six different locations, and last week, our East Campus celebrated 10 years of ministry at the East Campus. Let's thank God for the good job they're doing out there, man. That's amazing. And Compassion Christian, our church out in Statesboro, celebrated their third anniversary. Let's thank God for 3 years of great ministry out in Statesboro. Good things are happening. This is also the last week in the sermon series that we're calling Getting Your House in Order. And next week, man, we are literally going to take our study of the life of Jesus from Luke and start ramping up for the Easter. We're going to look at his very last days. We're going to prepare our hearts for Passion Week. And then Resurrection Sunday, friends, are all huge reasons why people love Jesus and follow Jesus. And this week at the Henderson campus, we're going to attempt something that I have never heard of any church attempting anywhere ever before. You know, when we build a new worship facility, this is a tradition of our church, we like to go into that building and literally start writing scripture verses on the building. You know, it's kind of a symbolic way of reminding ourselves that, man, our church and our lives are all built on God's word and God's wisdom. Well, friends, this week, Lord willing, we're going to write the entire New Testament on the walls all around the new worship center of our building right here at the Henderson campus. I don't know of any church that has ever tried to do this before, but Lord willing, we are going to cover the stage in that new worship center. We're going to cover the walls of that new worship center with God's word this week. We're going to give you a kind of a sneak peek at the new facility at the end of this service, and we're literally going to write the entire New Testament on the walls of that building this week. And I'll tell you why. Last week, when we studied Luke chapter 21, we saw from secular history how a predictive prophecy from Jesus that was recorded for us in the Bible literally saved the lives of thousands of Jewish Christians who lived in Jerusalem when the Romans came and sacked that city and destroyed the temple. When everybody else was running into the city, Jesus said, don't come to the city, run away. And the people who did run away saved their lives simply because 40 years earlier, Jesus had told them what to do in the Bible, and it happened exactly as he said. And when they did what he said, their lives were saved. Friends, it was believing in the Word of God, and it was believing the Word of God that literally saved their lives. Now, you know, we live in a country where the words of Scripture are literally carved into the walls of our most cherished buildings at our nation's capital. And yet we also live in a country that seems to have lost its confidence in the Bible's ability to bring wisdom to bear in every area of life. And friends, I'm telling you, turning a deaf ear to what God has to say about anything is one of the most unwise things any person or any nation could ever choose to do. You know, a number of years ago, Time Magazine ran a lead article that asked the question, is God dead? And the next day, a reporter asked Billy Graham, is God dead, Dr. Graham? And he said, are you kidding me? I just talked to him. Now, friends, those of you who are familiar with the Scripture know that the Bible is filled with references of communication between God and his people. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Nehemiah said that God spoke to his heart and led him to rebuild Jerusalem and restore the nation of Israel to prominence and power in the 5th century B.C. God spoke to Joseph and Mary through angels when Jesus was born. When Jesus was baptized, hundreds of people heard the voice of God say out loud, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, friends, when we read in the Bible about these dramatic, spectacular communications, I think sometimes we wonder if God is still in business. Because, you know, he doesn't seem to communicate as much or as dynamically in our day. But I want you to look with me at the book of Job at what the Bible says about how God communicates with us. It says in verse 14 of chapter 33, God does speak now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn a man from wrongdoing, to keep him from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. Let's read that first verse, verse 14, all together now. Big voice, here we go. Back up, verse 14. God does speak. Okay. Joker's in the sound booth. All right, here we go. You ready? Here we go. Big voice. I need to talk to you right after that. No, I'm just kidding about that. All right, here we go. Just kidding about that. Here we go. I'm so paranoid. You remember what happened last Wednesday night, right? I think they're just trying to say, don't get cocky, Pastor. You know, you need us up here. And they're right about that. Here we go. Big voice now. God does speak sometimes one way, sometimes another, though no one perceives it. Now, friends, the writer is saying that the problem is not that God doesn't talk. The problem is with perception. Sometimes we just not dial into the relevance of what the Lord has to say. Well, man, this week we're going to talk about two ways that God communicates with his people. First, friends, God speaks to us through the Bible. You know, Michael W. Smith wrote that great song to remind us of the importance of the life-changing truth of God in the Bible. We just heard it. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. But impart what? Well, you read it and it will impart wisdom and guidance and comfort and encouragement and whatever you need in the moment. Unfortunately, though, not everybody appreciates God's word. I love the old story about the little lady who loved the Lord, and she got in this conversation with a spiritual skeptic, and he was kind of dogging her about her faith. And he said, ma'am, you really believe in the Bible? And she said, yes, I do. He said, you believe all the stories in the Bible? She said, I believe the Bible. I believe it from Genesis to Max. Now, you kind of got to be a student of the Bible to get that, all right? But anyway, you know, all the way from the front to the back. He said, do you believe in the story of Jonah and the whale? She said, well, it doesn't actually say it was a whale, but I do believe that story. And he said, well, how did Jonah survive inside whatever it was for 3 days under the water? She said, I don't know. He said, I thought you said you believe the story. She said, I do believe the story. I just don't know how he survived in there. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And the skeptic said, well, what if he's not in heaven? She said, you ask him. Now, friends, I'm telling you, you know, most Americans have a Bible, all right? You know, American Demographics reported that 60% of the atheists in America own a Bible. 60% of the agnostics in America own a Bible. But just because you have one doesn't mean you read it or understand it or believe it. And friends, if you don't, you won't benefit from it. Because friends, the Bible is the primary way that God speaks to his people today. The Apostle Paul wrote, all scripture is God-breathed. Man, it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, the Bible is not just a good man-made collection of wonderful thoughts and ideas. Paul says that the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, is God-breathed. That means it has its genesis in God. Consequently, it is absolutely reliable. It is comprehensively trustworthy. And friends, you can count on God communicating with you through the Bible, sometime to guide you, sometime to correct you, sometime to comfort you, sometime to coach you. And friends, for what it's worth, and I know it might not be worth much, but let me tell you, for me, I am totally and completely convinced of the unique value and truth of the Bible. Consequently, I have submitted my whole life to its authority. Friends, I've spent the last 48 years of my life trying to follow these instructions carefully, and I want you to know I have no regrets. I do not have a single regret about building my life on the teaching of this book. Now, I have nightmares and flashbacks about the times that I have disregarded the wisdom of the Bible and then had to pay the price for that. But friends, I have no regrets for building my life on the teachings of the Scripture. This book led me to a saving relationship with the God who created this universe. This book led me to Jesus and the forgiveness of my sins and the power to break the destructive hold of sin on my life. This book freed me from the stranglehold of shame over past mistakes and taught me that God doesn't hold anything against me anymore once He has forgiven it. This book has shown me how to build a strong marriage and raise my kids and build lasting relationships and handle my money and treat my body and harness my appetites and reconcile relationships that have been broken. This book has comforted me when I was in sorrow, strengthened me in times of weakness, rebuked me when I rebelled, and affirmed me when I've obeyed. Man, the Bible has given me a perspective on my past and wisdom for the present and hope for the future. This book describes where I will spend my eternal life. And friends, I don't know what I would do without the Bible. I love it. I submit to it. I respect it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I intend to read it and follow it carefully for the rest of my life. Now, friends, look one more time at that verse from Paul's writings about the goal of the Bible. The goal of the Scripture is transformation. Life change. That's what the Bible does best. Teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the people of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, several years ago, we helped a young man named Vince Antonucci launch a church on the Strip in Las Vegas. And we sent mission teams to Vegas to help with that church every summer ever since. And that's not why most people from Savannah go to Vegas, but we go on mission trips, all right? But Vince grew up in a family that never went to church. His mother was Jewish. His father was a professional gambler who ended his life in prison. When Vince became a Christian, he had never been to church. He had never seen a Bible. He said when he was in college, he was watching TV one day, and a strange guy came on this religious channel, and he said, now, you probably heard that Jesus was crucified on Friday and rose from the dead on Sunday, but I'm going to prove to you today that Jesus really was buried on Thursday. And that was Vince's first exposure to the teaching of the Bible. And he thought, that has got to be the dumbest thing I have ever heard. I mean, as if you could prove or disprove the day something happened 2,000 years ago. This guy's an idiot. But you know, he just couldn't get that thought out of his mind. I mean, this guy was so passionately believed in the evidence that there was the evidence to substantiate the day of the week that Jesus was killed on. And Vince was a pre-law major. And so that just kind of fascinated him. Then a couple days later, he was over at his girlfriend's room and he looked up on her bookshelf and saw a Bible and stole it. Stole it. He said she wasn't reading it. It was all still wrapped in plastic, so he just took it, you know. He's going to give it a little test drive. And it was one of those student Bibles, you know, that had organized reading plans all through it so you could read about the life of Moses or the life of David or the life of Jesus. And he just decided that he would read about the life of Jesus so he could check out this raging controversy about what day of the week Jesus died on that was apparently tearing up Christianity. Well, friends, the more Vince read, the more the word affected him. And before he ever knew a Christ follower, he yielded his life to Jesus because of what he had read about Jesus in the Bible, even though he had never been to church and, as far as he knew, had never known a follower of Jesus. And friends, today, Vince is not a lawyer. He's a pastor who is teaching God's word in Las Vegas and leading a church that reaches people who are just like him and leading them to a life-changing relationship with Christ. Friends, the Bible is not just a book that where you read about God. The Bible is a book where you encounter God. And friends, how will that happen if you don't read it, if you don't study it? Now, here's what I want to ask you to do. You've got a note sheet. Just on the margin of that note sheet, I want to ask you to write down one time that you think God communicated something significant to you through the Bible. You just think of one time that you had an encounter with the Bible and you went, wow, and it had an effect on your life. So just think about it and write it in the margin if you can think of a single time where God's word had an impact on your life. Now, in addition to the Bible, God speaks to us through gifted teachers in the church. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to a church service and gotten hit by the word of God and you felt like the preacher was talking directly to you? Like your spouse was emailing him, and some of your spouses do email me, and that's why I'm pretty specific, all right? But have you ever felt like, man, that joker is talking directly to me? Can I tell you something? He was. He was talking directly to you. At that moment, God was speaking through a teacher that God had gifted to deliver a message from him for you. Now, listen to what Paul says about how we should respond to the teaching that we receive from the word. He says, we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Friends, God speaks to us through preachers and teachers and life group leaders, and very often it changes our lives when we listen to them. You know, back in 1974, I had just graduated from high school, and I was getting ready to go to Point University to prepare for the ministry. And it was August, and I attended the Southern Christian Youth Convention in Atlanta, Georgia, and I heard a guy preach for the very first time. His name was Wayne Smith. Wayne was a powerful communicator of the word, and he became one of my favorite preachers, but I heard him for the first time at the Southern Christian Youth Convention in Atlanta when I was 17. Now, I grew up in this tiny little church in South Carolina. I mean, it was a micro church. And when we went to the Southern Christian Youth Convention, there were churches from all over the South there. There were over 2,000 teenagers at that convention. And do you know how many good-looking women there are in a group of 2,000 teenagers? And that's what I was looking at. I was 17. And I was like, have mercy. Is this heaven? Did we die? I mean, what? I was like, I can't. Because, I mean, you know, all the girls in my youth group look like my brother. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it just, when I realized there was beautiful women in the kingdom of God, that was a good day for me. But like I said, I was at the convention, and I would love to tell you that I went to those sessions really dialed in on God's word. But the truth is, man, I was checking out the babes more than the Bible, all right? And then Wayne starts telling this story about this friend of his, a pastor friend of his, who had a heart attack and suddenly died that summer. And when he started telling that story, it captured my attention. And he talked about this noble man, and he talked about the biblical values that drove that man's life. And he talked about the courage and the loyalty that that man had demonstrated to God and to his family and to his church, and how, you know, how well he had lived, and how many people he had affected, and the energy he had invested in ministry. And tragically, this great man, you know, died in his early 50s. And then Wayne asked the question that rocked me. Who's going to take his place? Who's going to take his place? Who's going to fill that spot that that fallen warrior has left in the line? Who's going to live that kind of life? Who's going to give that kind of effort? Who's going to demonstrate that kind of character? There is a hole in the battle line that needs to be filled. And somebody needs to step up. Who's going to fill it? And I'm telling you, man, those words hit me like a sledgehammer. Now, they might not be hitting you at all, but I'm telling you, when I heard them, they hit me. I forgot about the girls. I forgot about my friends. I forgot about everything. In that moment, it was just me and God. And I'm telling you, I believe God was just letting me know, Cam, this is what I expect from people in the ministry. The ministry is important. Lives are at stake. It deserves and demands your best. And if that's not what you're going to give it, then do something else. But if it is, saddle up. And I'm telling you, when that service was over, I felt like I'd heard from the Lord. It was a defining moment in my life that has marked me to this day. Friends, I heard that talk 42 years ago, and I still feel the impact of that talk. What if I'd missed it? What if I cut that session? What if I skipped that session that turned out to be a defining moment in my life? What if I'd been out riding a motorcycle instead, or talking to one of those girls instead? What if I decided to go hunting or fishing or golfing or shopping or just laying on the beach somewhere? Friends, listen, that's why I hate to think that any of us would just intentionally miss a single weekend of worship. Because, man, you never know when the Lord is going to show up. You never know when God is going to single you out and communicate some insight from His word to you. And friends, it doesn't happen every weekend. So you can't afford to miss the one when it will. Listen to what Paul said was happening when he was preaching. He said, "This is what we speak, man, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. We are expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words." And when you listen to a gifted teacher unpack the word of God with integrity, man, God can deliver a message to you. And the more teaching you hear, the more God can talk to you. And friends, I'm just telling you, once a week is not enough. Man, you need regular impact from gifted teachers in your life more than once a week. Man, that's why you need to make weekly worship a priority, of course. But that's why we encourage everybody in our church to join a life group, you know, where you can break the Bible down and talk about it with friends and ask your questions. That's why I want to encourage you to listen to Christian radio. Man, some of the greatest teachers of God's word in the world are on Christian radio every day. You can listen to music that will just inspire you and bless you and the word that will make you strong. I want to encourage you to utilize audio resources. I'm telling you, I have listened to thousands of books and Bible teaching CDs and podcasts of sermons in my truck and when I work out and when I'm riding my bicycle. You know, I was in Joplin, Missouri yesterday teaching at a preaching and teaching conference at Ozark Christian College. And I had a couple come to me in Joplin, Missouri. And they said, "Cam, we listen to your services at Savannah Christian every week." I was like, "What?" Every week we sit down and we watch the services at your church. In Joplin, Missouri. I didn't even know phone lines went to Joplin, Missouri. I mean, good night. But you know what they're doing? They're taking advantage of a digital resource that builds them up spiritually. And they're making a wise choice. I want to encourage you to make wise choices. I mean, are you going to study the Bible or are you just going to get up and start watching television or read something else? Am I going to listen to something that builds me up? Or am I going to just consume another mumbo-jumbo half hour of talk radio on the road? Friends, what's going to make a difference over the long haul? Because, you know, God speaks through gifted teachers. Now, in the margin of your note sheet, I want you to try to think of a time that God's communicated something significant to you through a gifted teacher. It might have been 25 years ago. It might have been 25 minutes ago. But you just think about a time in your life when God spoke to you through a gifted teacher. You know, Paula shared in a testimony a couple weeks ago that her pastor made one statement to her and it changed the whole direction of her life. Sometimes it works that way. So if you can think of a single service where you heard or wherever it was from a gifted communicator, something that changed your perspective or changed your life, just make a note of it in the side of your note sheet and mark that. Because friends, I hope you're beginning to understand that God is not out of the communication business. And so as we bring this to a close, I want to leave you with three examples of how God's word will affect your life. Number one, God's word will illuminate your path. You know, it gives us clarity and confidence as we walk through our lives. David said, "Lord, your word is like a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path." You know, when I'm riding my motorcycle, I was taught that when you ride a motorcycle, you should ride as if you are invisible to 95% of the people, and the other 5% are actually trying to kill you, all right? You ride that defensive, and you might be able to survive this, and that's the way I ride. So when I approach an intersection, man, I'm telling you, when I see somebody pull up to the stop sign, I look at that car's front tire. I mean, I look at the hubcap or the wheel, and if that wheel is moving, I know that joker doesn't see me, and so I see him. When I see somebody riding down the road with a cell phone texting, I think, terrorist, right? That's a murderer. She tried to kill. I mean, the person is trying to kill me, all right? Now, friends, when I'm riding that motorcycle, I'm not trying to think about me doing the right thing. I'm trying to anticipate, you know, somebody else's decision that might have an effect on me. And, friends, when we go through life, we come up on a lot of intersections like that where we need to discern, man, what is a safe path to take? And it is so comforting to be able to go to God in prayer and say, "Lord, speak to me through your word. Show me some principle in your word that will guide me through this time. Fill my mind with scripture until it shapes the way I think and respond and assess the world all around me." Friends, God's word also pierces through our misperceptions. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Man, when you expose yourself consistently to the word of God every day, I'm telling you, it will eventually cut right down to the core of who you are. Man, do you remember in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the church just, you know, burst onto the scene? People had been mocking and jeering and calling for the crucifixion of Jesus. And then, 50 days later, they're sitting there in the temple area, and Peter preaches the gospel for the first time. And the Holy Spirit works on their hearts so strongly that it says when the people heard this gospel message, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Now, I don't know about you, brother, but I need exposure to truth that will cut me to the heart. Because I'm hard, and I got all kinds of defensive mechanisms, brother, and I need something that will get to me. Friends, I've been a dedicated Christ follower for over 40 years, and I'm telling you, to this day, I am amazed at the gravitational pull of sin on my life. I'm amazed at my ability to rationalize doing stuff that I know is wrong. And rationalize not doing stuff that I know is right. And I don't think I'm the only one in this room like that. Man, I need to read the Bible every day. I need to keep my moral compass calibrated every day. I need to be reminded to honor my parents. You know, because back when I was a kid, I was always tempted to disobey. And some of you students know exactly what I'm talking about. And as an adult, sometimes I'm tempted to take them for granted. And some of you who are a little older know what I'm talking about. Man, I need to be reminded often to just tell the truth. Don't lie under pressure. Don't exaggerate to make an impression, not even a little bit. Don't lie to myself. Don't lie to anybody else. Man, I need the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to cut through the narcissism of this culture and the deception of my own mind so that I can see clearly and obey consistently. I need that. And friends, I'm telling you, I get it every day from reading and then meditating and ruminating on the word of God. You know, another metaphor from the Bible about the Bible is that God's word nourishes our spirit. Do you remember what Jesus told Satan when he was being tempted in the wilderness? And Satan just came at him and came at him and came at him. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Man, Jesus is saying what food is to the body, God's word is to the soul. And friends, this is so important. You know, to be fed by God's word, we got to take it in and we got to digest it and let it shape us and nourish us and make us strong. And friends, that just won't happen apart from disciplined daily exposure to the word of God. And can I just say, the church can't do this for you. You need more than you can get at church. Now, we're going to teach you and we're going to encourage you and we're going to try and, you know, motivate you. But I'm telling you, friends, babies have to be fed by other people. Adults feed themselves. And your spiritual growth is your responsibility. Amen? Say it with me, everybody. Your spiritual growth is your responsibility. Nobody can do this for you. You can't outsource this. You can't get a vaccination for this. This is a discipline like working out, man. You got to do it every day. You got to take responsibility for that. And friends, no generation of people in the history of the world has been as richly blessed with access to the scripture as our generation has. And if you're not growing in your knowledge of God's word, it's because you've chosen not to. And it doesn't have to be that way. Man, if you're not reading the Bible every day, start today. Man, you can download the YouVersion of the Bible on your cell phone and have it with you everywhere you go. I read from the Bible on the flight from Dallas to Charlotte today on my phone. You can have it with you everywhere you go. And man, I would encourage you to have it with you everywhere you go. If you're not reading the Bible every day, here's what I want to encourage you to do. You start reading in Luke chapter 22 tomorrow morning and read a chapter a day until you get to the end of the New Testament. One chapter, don't try to read 10 chapters a day because you'll read 10 today and the next day you go, "Oh, I'm already caught up. I'll just one chapter a day." Always read with a pen in your hand. Always know where the highlighter is on your phone. So when some verse hits you, underline it. Mark it. Draw a big circle around it. Put a star out on the margin. Exclamation point. If you read something that doesn't make a lick of sense to you, call the most mature Christian you know and just say, "This is the craziest thing I've ever... What does this mean?" And they'll tell you. Or they'll tell you they don't know and they'll find out and then they'll tell you. But man, I'm just telling you, mine this thing. Mine it. Do it every day. Friends, God's word is powerful. It's life-changing. It's relevant to every stage of your life. Eat something from it every day and it'll make you strong. It'll make you strong. You know, there's a gathering of missionaries serving with the United Bible Society. And one of the translators told a story about an African man that he met in Zimbabwe who found Christ by reading the Bible in a very unusual way. And the guy's name was Gambarambi. That was his name. Now, Gambarami was one of these really gregarious guys. He'd sit by the road smoking cigarettes, talking to everybody who went by, and that was just his thing. He'd hand rolling these cigarettes, you know, with newspaper and tobacco. And one of the Bible translators was translating the New Testament into Gambarami's language, and he really wanted to talk with this guy about the Lord, really wanted to give him a New Testament, and he told him, I want to give you a New Testament in your own language. And he said, you probably don't want to do that. And he said, why not? He said, because that's a great source of paper. And if you give me that thing, I'll tear the pages out and I'll just roll cigarettes with it, so don't do it. And so the translator was like, well, I ain't giving you a Bible. I'll have you tear it up and smoke it. I mean, good night. And then he started praying about it and thinking about it. And he knew Gambarami needed to read the Bible. He wasn't going to find Jesus without reading the scripture. And he didn't really relish the idea of this man smoking his way through the New Testament. But when he prayed about it, he said, all right, look, I'll give you a New Testament. And you can use the pages for cigarette paper if you promise to read them first. You got to read it first and then smoke it. And he said, I'll do it. Now, fast forward this story 15 years into the future. The scene is at a United Bible Society meeting in Zimbabwe, and on stage is a church planter named Gambarami, and he's sharing his testimony. He said, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, I smoked Luke, and when I got to John, I got to John 3:16, and I smoked no more. You know what John 3:16 says? Let's say it all together, shall we? Big voice, guys. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then from that point on, instead of smoking the gospel, Gambarami's been preaching the gospel because God's word changed his life. And he just couldn't wait to let it help change somebody else's life. Friends, today, Lord willing, we're going to write the entire New Testament into the structure of our worship center here at our Henderson campus. But even more than that, I'm praying that we will write the word of God on every one of our hearts. Amen? Amen. You know, Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your heart against him. He's trying to communicate. If you open your heart, he will. Father, thank you for this time you've given us to be together, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet, and it is a light to our path. Lord, it gives us confidence in the presence. The present, Lord, it gives us a sense of hope about the future. And I just ask, Lord, that today, that there will be those, Lord, who will think about the times that they have been hit by your word. Something struck them. Something made sense to them. And I pray, God, that there will be those here today who realize that, Lord, you're trying to communicate with them. And you're not ticked off. You're not angry. You're trying to communicate your love for them, your concern for them, your desire to bless them. And I pray, God, that there will be those who will respond.